Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God was in their thinking, their praying, this section on the day of Pentecost, that mockers said that these people are drunken with wine and so forth. And Peter began, after this mocking, I'll just go to verse 14, after others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Jews, the children of Israel, the devoted persons, they went to pray. They went to the house of God to pray at the hours of prayer. And the third hour, which is approximately 9 a.m. and noon prayer, okay, that's their sixth hour, and also the ninth hour, which is afternoon around 3 p.m. And this was morning prayer time. These people, apostles, Peter, and others, they pray to God. Okay? This is very important. For great things to happen in our lives, we pray. We go to God. Go to the Most High God. I cause to become God, our Father. Expecting to receive. Okay? When you pray, believe that you received. And also, well, we pour out our hearts before Him. He hears us. See, God was real to them. They went to God and they prayed from their heart. So we do that too. The book of Acts, acts of the Holy Spirit to take place, we have God as center. And we pray, we talk to Him. And then this day of Pentecost, great wonders happened, and about 3,000 souls were added. And because they were going to God, and God was living God to them, so things happened. Wonderful things happened, like many, many wonders and signs, you know, miracles, they were done. God was in senses world, action in senses world. And when things happen wonderfully, then what happens? We praise God, praising God. And we are happy, and we can cheerfully give, having favor with all the people, and the Lord, God, added to the church daily. Ekklesia. Ek means out. Glesia means called. So, ecclesia means called out. Daily. Not after a week, weekly, monthly, yearly. No. This is the pattern. See? When God is living God to you, then God's act is going to be evidenced in our life. And He's going to move before us. See? We don't have to make it happen. We worship God. We go to the Father. And He does the wonderful works. And here, chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. They went to the temple. At this time, the revelation of mystery hadn't come, wasn't revealed. The great information which is revealed in Romans through Thessalonians, this was not revealed. This information was not there. So as much as Peter and John and others knew, they did according to that knowledge that they knew. And so they went to the temple of God at the hour of prayer to talk to God, to give thanks. And they were thankful at this time. They are seeing many wonders, signs, the acts of God. And they are very, very thankful to God. And ninth hour is around 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. This man, the lame man, was there daily. Most probably, he was there on the day of Pentecost also. Yes, not most probably. Especially on the feast of the first fruit, he must have been there and witnessed that the apostles speaking in tongues, the wonderful works of God, and the message that Peter and John delivered. He might be there, right there, in his presence that was preached, or they preached at different part of the temple area, but they must have come to know, or this man must have come to know about Peter and John as wonderful men of God. And he definitely had the knowledge of Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus went to this temple oftentimes, and he healed various people in that temple, and he taught there. And this man must have known that Peter and John were followers of Jesus. So here, verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He could have asked an alms from different people too. There are many, many people going to pray, enter into the temple at the hour prayer. But particularly, this man asked an alms from this two people, Peter and John. And verse 4, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So this man was delivered miraculously, wonderfully. And this man, like here says, expecting to receive. See, in order to receive healing, a person needs to believe, expect to receive. So this man, expecting to receive. Later on, we'll go to different chapters, 14, 15, so forth. And Paul, when he was preaching at one of the locations where he preached, there was a man who was also crippled, and this man had faith to receive. The scripture says, Paul perceived that this man had faith to receive. Then he spoke loudly to him, stand forth upon thy feet. And then he stood up and he was healed. So this man, the crippled man, had faith. Similar way, Peter and John must have perceived that this man had faith to receive. So they could give. See? And this particular day, Peter and John, they were not thinking that today is the day that I'm going to speak to multitude again in the temple. Okay, today I'm going to do some wonderful healing. He wasn't thinking like that. He was living his life. He was looking to God. He had his desire. He desired that the people of Israel to come to know that Jesus was the Messiah and that they receive Jesus as the King, the Messiah, and then they can receive remission of sin and receive salvation. So that was Peter's desire, prayer towards God. And it so happened, this particular day, they just went up to the temple. That was the hour of prayer, which means they were not particularly making designated time to witness to people and to do something like that. They were living life. They went to the temple to pray to God, and God opened the door. See, this is very, very important. God opens the door. It's not on you. There's no pressure on you to have God to add to you, to God to open doors to you, God to send the laborers to you. This is not your duty. Our duty, or what we are to do, is to focus on God. We talk to the Father, expect Him to do wonders, wonderful things for us. Expect Him to send the laborers. Expect Him to open the door of utterance to us. And God absolutely does that. God's word is absolutely going to go all over the world. And it shall go speedily. Speedily His word will move. Free course. Like Thessalonians says, free course means run swiftly. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen through you, individual acts, God's acts, with you, through you. Here, friends, Peter and John, they just went up to pray to God. And God opened the door for them. And God showed them here that this man has faith. And then Peter and John had authority. See, they knew the authority that they have in Christ. Before the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ gave them training. Jesus gave them authority over all devils to throw them out and also to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. They knew that. And they healed the sick. They cast out devils. Even before the day of Pentecost. So here, we will see. Verse 5 again, back to 5, chapter 3. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, see, you have, when you said Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, then you are made complete and you have the power and authority to heal the sick, throw out the devil. You have the authority to approach to the Most High God. He is your Father. And enjoy the rights and privileges of being sons and daughters of God. So such as I have, give I thee. I give you. See, you give. Such as you have, you give. If you don't give, they don't get it. You may not feel like you have it, but you have it. And you can give. for speaking in tongues. Before you spoke in tongues, you may think or you felt that you didn't have something like that. You felt you didn't have such words in foreign language that you didn't even know, never been taught that you could just speak. But whether you felt or didn't feel didn't matter. When you began and did it, opened your mouth and uttered, began to speak, then there was that power and ability to speak in unknown language. And God tells us that we can give healing, gifts. We can gift healing. So that's why Peter said, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." This is the name, the authority, everything that the Jesus, the Messiah, okay, of Nazareth has, that Peter and John had. So in that name, rise up and walk. Not in Peter and John's name, their fleshly ability, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of the right hand of God. So with that authority, you rise up and walk. And he, Peter, took him, the crippled man, by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, this crippled man, leaping up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He was happy. He was very, very thankful to God. See, this man, he was born crippled. Born crippled. He never walked. He never knew how to walk. It's a great miracle. He didn't even learn how to walk. He just walked. God so healed him that in a less than a second, he just leaped. Even he could leap and walk and praise God. See, our God is wonderful God, powerful God. He has made us whole. He delivered us. He has set us free, took us away from all manner of sicknesses, all manner of diseases, and devil spirit problems, and death. Death unto life. Now this happened. Okay, this man is walking and leaping and praising God. See, this word, praising God, verse 47 of chapter 2, praising God. People were speaking, declaring the wonderful works of God, declaring God's great deliverance that wrought in their life. They were speaking that, praising. And this man, he received this great, wonderful deliverance in his life. Was he happy? Yeah, he was very, very happy. And he was very, very thankful to God and speaking the wonderful works of God done for his life. Speaking, praising God. And verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. So this crippled man walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues, and then people, the Jews from all over the world came over to Jerusalem to worship, and they heard the apostles speak in their language where they were from. the wonderful works of God. And chapter 2, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled. See, God is the one who can open door for such thing, that people will amazed and marvel, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak aliens? And how hear we every man in our language, tongue, wherein we were born? And then these languages. And verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And here too, people were amazed. The power of God in manifestation, that get people's attention. But God opens the door. As we desire, as we have Jesus as Lord, and we go to the Father, we are in connection, contact with God, expecting our prayers to be answered, expecting God to do wonderful things for our lives, for our nation, for our family, for whatsoever. And God opens the door. See, this is also God opened the door. It wasn't Peter and John's great planning skill and great education or no education that opened this door. But they were dedicated. They were focused. They trusted God. They looked to God. And God opened this wonderful door. And people were amazed there, right there. And verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people run together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he said, let's go home. I don't think it's the time for me to preach or to declare God's message. Or he said that, oh, I would go home and pick up my notes. And then I worked on such and such subject, and then I think I would teach them. So ask the multitude, could you wait for perhaps like 20, 30 minutes? And then I will come back and let you know what you should hear. No. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, see, he's connecting these people to God. This is absolutely important. We connect people to God. The message will connect people to God, the mighty God, who is the deliverer, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself declared the Father. He declared Father's word. And that's what we do. That's what you do. Verse 13, the God of Abraham. Now these people right there, they knew of God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. The God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye deny the Holy One and the just, and desire the murderer to be granted unto you, that at the court of Pilate, that they desire that martyr, Barabbas, son of the Father. Barabbas means son of the Father, who was a murderer. They could have released one person that particular day, but they chose the murderer to be released instead of the Holy One, Christ, the Messiah. And verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. See, this resurrection, it's a great message. God truly has delivered us also from death to life. Death has been man's greatest enemy, the greatest problem after the fall. Adam sinned, Eve sinned. From that time onwards, even continuing till now, the death is the greatest enemy, the problem. People desire to live forever and ever, desire to live longer life, healthy life, and they would do anything to live. People pay lots of money to live. And God has delivered us and given us the hope of eternal life. See, God raised Jesus from the dead, and He's the first fruit. And we are to follow. We are going to read that section also about the resurrection later on. But we'll just continue here. And verse 16, and His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So this man had faith. Faith. Without faith, you cannot receive anything from God. You cannot please God without faith. With faith, that we believe God's word, His promises, have confidence in His promises, then God is pleased. Without our confident expectation that our mighty God, wonderful God, will do, has heard your prayer, God cannot do anything. And He's pleased when we believe Him. See, we don't see Him. God is Spirit. We don't see Him. But right now He is with us. And He's aware, very much aware of us. And when we speak something to Him, He hears us. He listens to us. He's our Daddy. Revelation of the mystery. He's our Daddy. He's our Father. He loves us. He is for us, not against us. How shall not with Him also freely give us all things? And He wants to reveal unto us the things that which He has freely given unto us. And verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ, the Messiah, should suffer, He has so fulfilled. In the Old Testament, God gives prophecy, gives us information regarding suffering of Christ, various places, and His glory. And that suffering side is over. See, Peter and John, they're giving the knowledge regarding the suffering Christ. And that side of the information. And that is fulfilled. He says fulfilled. Verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing, restoration shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is presence of Jehovah. And He, Jehovah, shall send Jesus, the Messiah, Christ, which before was preached unto you. See, that Messiah was preached unto you. Whom, verse 21, the heaven must receive until the times of restitution, restoration of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. This information was available that this King, the Son of God, God's Son, will sit on the throne of David and His kingdom will continue forever and ever. This Jesus, He's died and God raised Him from the dead and He is the King and His kingdom is not over, not over. There is a time. Now He's seated at the right hand of God and at the right time He's going to come back to restore the kingdom to Israel and gather all the children of Israel from all over the world to Israel. And verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God, Jehovah your God, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. Okay, shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, they put chapter 4 here, but this is a continuation, could be numbered as verse 27 of chapter 3. Okay, we just read chapter 4, verse 1. And, the first word is and. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Sadducees did not believe in resurrection from the dead or angels. Pharisees believed it. And the priest, they didn't like this message because they are the ones sent us Jesus Christ to be put to death and then handed over to Pilate and get him, you know, execute Jesus by their hand. So they were not happy about this message. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. See, there are people who believes all over the world and in your community. Wherever you go, wherever you are, there are people who are going to believe. And in this case, there are people who are believers right around there. And these people believed the word. And the number of the men was about 5,000. This time 5,000. Earlier about 3,000 souls. This time about 5,000. Again, this was not a planned meeting by Peter and John. But they must have desired for many, many people to be saved. Many, many people to turn from darkness to light. They desired, I'm sure, intensely. And God was able to open the door. And about 5,000 people were saved. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, these 12, they brought them in the midst. These were the people, Annas, Caiaphas, and so forth. They were the same people some days earlier sentenced Jesus to be put to death. They were vicious against Jesus of Nazareth. They opposed Jesus. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And the same people who put Jesus to death, they were right here. And they called, brought the 12 in the midst of them. And verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, this is authority, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, that's the way to go. See, now we speak by the Spirit of God. God is able. See, our God has aerodynamically made you to be able to, for you to be able to speak by the Spirit of God. See, we just open our mouth and speak for God. Said unto them, Peter said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Wow. What a boldness. Peter had no fear. He spoke for God. He had the power from on high. No fear. Peter knew God was the mighty God, Jehovah, the Elohim, God. God was for him. And he spoke for God. See, God gave him the utterance. He spoke boldly. And verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Also written in Matthew 21:42. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, delivered, made whole, given eternal life. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't go to the recognized college, theological college, their those days institution to learn God's word, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. They didn't go to any of those places. They were ignorant men, according to their standard, unlearned people. They were fishermen, Galileans. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that day, these 12 had been with Jesus. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. See, there was nothing they could speak against them. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they said, excuse me, go out of this place. We have a discussion now. And Peter and others went out of that room, and they discussed themselves among themselves. Verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But, verse 19, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. See, that's the thing. We listen to God. This is right. We are to be led by God, not led by, in this case, these elders, priests, and scribes, Sadducees. Even though they had the qualification, they had the credentials, they were socially accepted. And according to the world, they were wise. But where are we going to receive the instruction from? God. And now we have the Spirit of God, and God can give us His counsel. Trust in the Lord, Jehovah, with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding or others' understanding, world's understanding, even world's famous so-and-so's teaching, the way to do things, ways to move the word, or to set up a evangelism campaign. We go by God's way. See, God's way is given here in this Acts. Acts of God here. God is giving us this pattern, the graph. How things will happen. Because they hearken unto God. They listen to God. They were led by God. Because they were desiring, they were willing to be led. Their heart was to do the will of God, do the will of the Father. Their meat was to do the will of the Father. Is that kind of attitude, heart, our heart also? And we should have that. Okay? It's worth having this kind of attitude that my meat is to do the will of the Father, to do His work. That is to be ours. And we are going to get great benefits. We are going to be set free. We cannot serve two masters in this world. The world we serve and go after the way of the world, or serve God. See, we need to focus on one and seek that one. Either this side or that side. God. We choose God. And we listen to God. Then He shall be able to add unto us everything that the world seek after. Material things, whatever. Our God is able to add to us. He is wealthy God. He has glorious riches, glorious wealth. He has. He is not poor God. He is not weak God. He is not God who is tired. He has to rest. He is awake. He is vigilant. He watches over you. He guards you. And He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to look to Him. Our help comes from Jehovah, our God, our Father. See, that's our direction. Because we want the benefits. Benefits in our life. Bless the Lord, Jehovah, all my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, Jehovah, all my soul. And forget not all His benefits. You don't want to forget all His benefits. We need to remember many of His benefits and expect to manifest those benefits in our lives. Who forgives all your iniquities. And He has forgiven us all our iniquities. Who has healed, for us is healed. Who heals in Psalm 103, I think, it's written. Who heals, but for us is who healed all your diseases. Okay? He has healed all our diseases. And we say that, we expect that to be manifested in our lives. Who redeems us from destruction. And so forth. Many benefits. Being sons and daughters of God. So, Peter and John said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you please judge. For the reason, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21. So, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. The wonderful works of God was done. And these priests, kindred of the high priest and so forth, they couldn't stop them from following God. They were dedicated. This was real thing for Peter and John. This was not a temporary excitement for Peter and John or some psychological thing that they had a high time, you know, emotionally high time, and they decided to just do something for God. No, this was real, genuine, because God works in them, worked in them, and God works in us. And verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle, this sign, this is Simeon, sign of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They had believers, about 3,000 souls. And they declared, reported, all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Verse 24, and when they heard that, their own company, okay, believers, they heard that their own company, the believers, lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Okay, now the believers, they are looking to God. They are lifting up their voice to God. Then things happen. Perhaps earlier, the apostles were lifting up their voice to God, intensely praying for doors to open, the mighty works to be done. Now, the others were inspired, really got them going, moving. got the others to dedicate, to do the will of God. So lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Okay, this word could be Jehovah. Jehovah, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is. They're really talking to God. This was not a ritualistic prayer. They really meant it when they were speaking. They believed that God was hearing. And that's what we do. When we pray, we just really believe that we are talking to that God who made heavens and earth, and expecting our prayers to be answered. And verse 25, who by the mouth of thy, Jehovah, thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord. Who is this Lord? Is this Lord Jesus Christ? See, when we read in New Testament, we need to just watch what this word, Lord, is referring to, to whom it's referring to. And from the context, you can find out whether it's referring to the Jehovah, or to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to somebody else who's addressed as Lord, Master. And we just read on, and then we will understand whether this Lord is referring to Jesus or Jehovah. So I'll just read this again from here. And the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. So, Jehovah. See? I'll read it that way now. And the rulers were gathered together against Jehovah and against Jehovah's Christ, Messiah. For of a truth against thy holy child, Jehovah's holy child, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, whom thou, Jehovah, hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy, Jehovah's hand, and thy, Jehovah's counsel determined before to be done. And now, Jehovah, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, Jehovah's servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jehovah's holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, these people, after that prayer to God, see, prayer gets God in action. God to move in the five senses world. They really meant when they prayed, what they said, they meant it. God was then allowed to move forward so that they could speak the word of God with boldness. Right? Verse 31, the middle. And they were all filled, plethored with the Holy Spirit. And they, later on, not that particular day, in the prayer time, they spake the word of God with boldness. No. After that particular time onwards, henceforth, later on, they spake the word of God with boldness. See, filled with Holy Spirit. Peter also, in this chapter 3, verse 8, then Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, said unto men, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. He spoke the word of God with boldness. With the power of Holy Spirit, we can speak the Word of God with boldness. God gives you the utterance. And great wonders, signs. Okay, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed. Now the multitude of them. God was able to increase. God was able to add souls to the ecclesia. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Next segment, I will continue from this area, this section. Now these people, they were dedicated, they were focused, and they lived for God. And they desired that they may be able to speak his word boldly. Then what happens? God was able to add to the church more and more people, the multitude. So that's act. See, individual basis and then collectively, we look to God. We desire to do the will of the Father. And the Father is able to act, open doors for us. And many, many souls are added and to be saved and coming to the knowledge of truth.